Now, there's growing concern in Kildare about young people inhaling aerosols to get high, a practice that can cause sudden cardiac death or even on first use. A local resident says they saw a group of school-age girls in Naas this week inhaling deodorant through a towel. Medical experts say the gases in deodorant and other household aerosols can shock the heart into stopping, even in otherwise healthy young people. There is often no sign and no time to intervene. Newbridge woman Angela Larkin has also called for awareness talks in local schools, saying the behaviour is happening in Newbridge, and said an awareness campaign needs to take place in schools. She suggested Gardaí, health professionals or youth workers be brought in to speak to students starting from sixth class upwards. Martin Osborne joins me now in the studio to discuss this in more detail.
Thanks, Hannah. We're speaking with Dermot Maguire this morning, who is the father of 14-year-old Daniel Maguire, who died in September after inhaling fumes from an aerosol deodorant in his bedroom. And Daniel has been described as a typical active teenager who loves sport, his friends and his family, and his dad is now speaking out in the hope of preventing another family from going through what they have endured. Dermot joins me now. Good morning, Dermot.
Morning, Martin.
Can you tell me a little bit about Daniel, who he was, what he loved, and the kind of teenager he was at home and with his friends?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Daniel was he was your typical teenager. He was 14 years of age. He was intelligent, very popular with his friends. He had a huge group of friends. When he passed, actually, his friends kept us going through it all. There was huge outpouring from the local community as well. He was very fit. He loved his gym. He was into his MMA. And then one night he decided, for reasons unknown, to inhale deodorant in his bedroom. This caused a blood clot in his lungs and cut off the oxygen to his brain. He passed out. We were on him in seconds. He passed out, but he never woke up. He never even knew he died.
And you've spoken before about the moments leading up to when you found Daniel. And look, I understand this is still quite raw. It only happened in September. Can you take us back to that night and what you feel is important just from that night for people to understand?
Yeah, so Daniel finished school, he came home, and as usual, it was like, it was on a Friday, so he was finished for the weekend. He said, look, Dad, I'm heading to the gym, no problem. Away he went to the gym. He came home, he had his dinner with us, we sat around with his family, we talked, we laughed. Then he went up to the local community centre where he played football on a Friday. It's just a little community thing up in the centre. He arrived home again, we sat around, had a laugh, he went upstairs. I was locking up. I was looking for the key to lock the front door. I called up to him. He said, yeah, he had the key. A couple of seconds later, I said, Daniel, are you throwing down the key? No answer. So from the last time I spoke to him to the time I went into his room was about 30 seconds. And by that stage, he had passed out on the floor. Obviously, emergency services arrived and he worked on Daniel into Saturday morning. In fairness to Temple Street, he probably worked on him longer than he should have. As far as I was concerned, I knew he was gone when they were taking him out of the house.
Yeah, and you said there were no signs that Daniel had ever done anything like this before. How difficult has it been trying to make sense of what happened?
It has been absolutely devastating. And our main thing is we don't want another family to go through this like we did. This is something that happens to other families. You know, this is something you hear about in the news. Couldn't possibly happen to us. You know, not our child. Well, you know, it could be your child. That's our message. People are going to be listening to this saying, oh, well, not my child. My child is more intelligent than this. You know, oh, that could never happen to us. Our message is, it can happen. It can happen to anybody.
And are you confident that message is getting through? Like, we've seen posts online and especially Facebook where local people are saying that this level of awareness and this level of campaigning needs to be taken into schools. We have had reports of teenagers and teenage girls as well who are apparently spotted in Naas inhaling deodorant through a towel, and according to an eyewitness, empty bottles were left behind. Is the message getting through?
We believe it is. Like, our message, I've got messages from all over the world, excuse me, from all over Ireland as well, people, sorry, excuse me.
You're okay.
People are messaging me, you know, our child has died of this. Adults are dying from this as well. It's not just kids. It's like I know of one person in our local area, mid-30s, a couple of years ago, same thing. So it's not just kids, but the awareness needs to be there. It's not about, this is not about banning aerosols. It's about education, you know, and I totally agree. It needs to be brought into schools more so than it is.
I've seen videos on TikTok, shocking videos that show step by step how to do this, how to get the best high. There's been a lot of discussion about social media influences and trends online. Do you have any thoughts on social media and I suppose the role that social media companies and the responsibility that they have in terms of tackling this?
As regards social media is a minefield for adults, never mind kids, you know. And I mean, like, kids are looking at these videos and, you know, they're made to look fantastic, this is great, this is cool, not realising the dangers behind them. And, like, even just to move away from deodorants, the fast gas as well. I have found fast gas canisters in our local park. They're done up in bright colours, and it literally says on these things, go fast or go home. These are targeting kids.
Wow.
You know, and the education needs to be there for the kids to realise you're being targeted. These things can kill you.
And excuse my ignorance, but those cans of gas, are they easily available? Can you get them anywhere? I know, do you use them for balloons or whatever?
They're actually used for whipping cream, believe it or not.
Okay.
The whatever it is, nitrous oxide or whatever it is. Now, I've looked into this myself, obviously, since. Their main use is for whipping cream, for machines that whip cream. They should not be available so readily. And they should certainly not be aimed at kids.
And there have been other cases of teenagers dying in similar circumstances. We do have the case of Sarah Meskell, and she was from County Clare, and she was also 14 when she died in 2023. And a recent coroner's court recorded a verdict of death by misadventure. But a post-mortem examination confirmed that she suffered cardiac arrest and damage to her heart. And we've heard medical experts come out and say, one attempt at this, one go at this, and your heart can stop. Do young people realise that? Do you think they just think they're invincible?
Well, see, that's the thing as well. I mean, like, at 14, we were all 14, we were all invincible. As my wife said at Daniel's funeral, teenagers, you think you're invincible, you are not, you know. And it's just getting a message across. But it is so difficult when you're dealing with teenagers because, look, we were all 14, you know, nothing could hurt us. But this is a real, real danger. The amount of, like I said, the amount of messages I've got from all over Ireland of people who have lost family because of inhaling deodorants or hairspray or anything like that, aerosols, has been huge. It's not publicised enough, you know. And I can understand families don't want to publicise it. Well, we do. We want to get the message out there.
And if a teenager is listening and someone who thinks this is harmless or just trying something once, what would you say directly to them?
Well, obviously, don't do it. What I would say to teenagers as well is, if you know your friend is doing it, speak up. If you're doing it, please stop. Okay? But the main thing is, I would rather a teenager fall out with a friend for telling on them than that teenager going to that person's funeral.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. And look, how are you coping day to day? And how's your wife Yvonne? I mean, September. I mean, this mere months ago.
It was 6 weeks on Saturday, and Saturday's just gone. And look, our family is devastated. We are absolutely destroyed by this. His younger brother, Andrew, he was only a couple of months younger. He was, 16 months younger. They were best friends. His older brother, Adam, who's 23, was, you know, Adam was Daniel's hero. Yvonne is absolutely devastated. I'm devastated. Grandparents, friends. We still have Daniel's friends calling to the door to come and see us. You know, it's like the whole community here in Dublin 15 have been absolutely amazing for us.
Yeah, and look, I suppose just in terms of action, What does public health messaging or warnings look like to you? I mean, how it's so easy to go into a shop, any shop, and buy deodorant or, like you said, even those gas canisters. What would you like to see being done?
Well, for the start, the warning on the canisters could be bigger.
Mm.
Okay, we're not looking to ban deodorants. You can't possibly ban aerosols. You know, that's a pipe dream. You know, more public messages, bigger warnings on the cans. I know a couple of schools that I'm aware of have banned aerosols in the school. It's roll-ons only.
Mm.
I mean, like possibly look at, you know, selling aerosols under 18s may help.
Well, look, Dermot, obviously our thoughts are with your family.
Thank you.
Obviously an extremely difficult situation, and we hope any family or young people that are listening will take heed of the advice that you have shared. Thanks so much for your honesty and for coming on to Kildare Today this morning.
No worries. Could I just say one more thing as well? I know it's mostly parents listening this morning. There's nothing I can say for you to tell your kid that will make them not do it. Each parent knows their own child. They need to talk to their own child about these dangers, because, you know, it has to stop.
And even have that conversation if there's no suspicions.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that was Dermot Maguire sharing the story of his 14-year-old son, Daniel Maguire. Dermot, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.